truma says by Daber Hashem Moshe Leimon Daber O Bnei Yisrael Yichuli Truma Meisko Yisheshay Ben Libo Tichu Shlomasi. Speak to Bnei Yisrael. That's the first problem. Speak to Bnei Yisrael. It's kind of obvious, no? And take for me truma. Take for me a gift from all of the men that have a donation of the heart. That's where you should take my truma. And so truma shir techumi. Now, in previous years, we've gone through a lot of crazy things about what they gave. You know, the different types of gold. Talked about the Oros Tachash and what the Tachash was. And we got into Zutora. And then we got into the Sheish. We've gotten into Tolas Shani, how they made the Tolas Shani. We went into Tcheles. We've done that in previous years. But I keep skipping out on, like, the main thing over here, which is the Mishkan itself. I've never really talked about, like, what the point of the Mishkan is. We're talking about it in a shul. What's the point of a Mishkan? What's the point of the Beis HaMikdash, the first and second? What's the point of the third Beis HaMikdash? And what's the point of a shul until we have a Beis HaMikdash? I mean, where do all these things get put into play? Where are we getting all these things from? What are they trying to teach us? Okay, so the first question you got to ask when you go through all this is, Daber O Bnei Yisrael. When it says, Daber Hashem Al Moshe Leimor, Leimor always means to say to Bnei Yisrael. It's not actually, otherwise it would be by Daber Hashem Al Moshe. Leimor is say this over to somebody else. Now, obviously he's going to talk to Bnei Yisrael. Now, who else is he going to talk to? I got to build up a Mishkan. Maybe there's Bitzal there, but Leimor is usually to Bnei Yisrael. So what's Daber O Bnei Yisrael? Speak to Bnei Yisrael. There's an extra little chiv over here. So what's going on here? So the pshat is like this. The kedusha is like Reblinius and Reditchev. Says the following. This is the first time since Matan Torah, since they got the Torah at Har Sinai, where Bnei Yisrael, where Moshe Rabbeinu had a conversation with Bnei Yisrael, where they got together, Moshe Rabbeinu had a full conversation, not just him punishing them for the ego azov, not just him coming down with the second Aseret Dibros again, the first time where our Kadosh Baruch Hu commands him, here's what you got to command to Bnei Yisrael. Mishpatim happened beforehand. Here, we have something where he came down from the mountain after 120 days. He was up in the mountain, 40 days to get the first Aseret Dibros, 40 days to Davin, another 40 days for the second Aseret Dibros. Then all of a sudden, after 120 days, where he's unbelievably Kadosh, where he's sitting there and he didn't eat or drink for 120 days, maybe not straight, he might have come down in between, but at least for 120 days he didn't eat or drink. Moshe Rabbeinu is on a level beyond levels. Just he's modest like a malach. He's a malach elokim. Well, Bnei Yisrael put themselves on a level where they did the ego azov. They were more physical than they'd ever been. They were more gashmi than they'd ever been. I shouldn't say ever, than they had been since Matan Torah. It's sort of like they're losing ground. Moshe Rabbeinu keeps growing, and Bnei Yisrael keeps going down because they don't have Moshe Rabbeinu to lead them right now. So Moshe Rabbeinu's problem, says Rav Levi Yitzchak, was that if I talk to them, I'm going to take myself down a couple levels. I'm not going to be in the same level as I was beforehand. How can I go to them? And remember, we had this whole little thing about going over Kiruv on campus or trying to go ahead, that you can't expect to go there and not be brought down a little bit. You can't expect to stay on your level. There's no way it's going to happen. Sometimes there's a chiyuv. The Moshe Rabbeinu thought there's nothing he could do to bring them up to his level. He thought there's no way he's going to be able to bring them up to his level. And what's it going to do? It's going to be metaveh him. He said, where's my hetzer to go to speak to Bnei Yisrael? So what he was planning on doing is he knew way more. He knew he had to tell it over to Bnei Yisrael. He was going to tell it through Aaron. He's going to tell it through Hur. From now on, Moshe Rabbeinu had made a decision. He was going to stay in his ohel, outside of Har Sinai, which he took in ohel and he made it outside of Har Sinai. We'll see that in the end of Kisisa. He was going to stay there after the Eagle Azov had happened and they were already metame themselves. He was going to stay there for the rest of time. He wasn't going to leave. When Bnei Yisrael, when he got a nevuah and it had to be told over to Bnei Yisrael, he wouldn't do it. He'd send over messengers to do it. And the judges of Yisrael would be the people who would, from now on, take care of all of Klal Yisrael. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu himself, he'll sit and learn all day long. You want to come to me, you better be Metar yourself. You better be Mekadesh yourself. Because if you want to come to me, said Moshe Rabbeinu, then you have to be ultimately Kadosh. And he wanted to speak to only Gedolim. He didn't want to deal with anybody else. He didn't want to lose his level that he was on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, no, Daber El Bnei Yisrael. Speak to Bnei Yisrael, go up to Bnei Yisrael. But I'm going to lose my dveikus. I'm not going to be stuck to a Kadosh Baruch Hu anymore. I'm not going to be totally with God. What am I supposed to do with that? Said a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if the other person is going to have an aliyah from it, it's a chassid shavur. If the Rebbe sees that the other person is going to have an aliyah from it, that something's going to go up, then you should speak to that other person. Lose a level or two. Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs them to build the Mishkan, the Yichu Li Truma, Rashi says, Li Lishmi. You got to do it L'Shem Shemayim. And there's no way Bnei Yisrael will be on the level. Can you imagine the first tzedakah you ever give? L'shem Shemayim, they'll never be on that level. It was impossible unless Moshe Rabbeinu would bring them up a little bit. He had to build them up. Sure, they're never going to be on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. They're never going to be on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu before he went on Har Sinai. They're never going to get there. But he'll bring them up to a level where Li L'shmi can still be occur. Can still occur. You're going to love this, by the way. This is Soul Rav Shur type of shir. You're going to love this in the end. I got a gematria for you, just for that, at the very end. But it's Li L'shmi at the very end. It's L'shem Shemayim. They had to do that. And therefore, he had to speak to them directly and not through an interpreter. The Ma'aril says it's a common mistake that people make. When Christians want to become great people, what do? They decide to become monks. They go and they do hispodidus, and they stay away from everyone. And they go into a forest, they stay away from everyone else out there, and they do their own thing. And they think themselves through, and they clarify things in their head, and they get everything down. Says the Ma'aril, again a Chassidus Shavuot, but it goes together with the Kedushas Levi, that's the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is trying to keep you away from the Gedolim. What he's saying is, stay by yourself, go to the forest, and learn by yourself, and figure it all out on your own. You don't need Misora. You don't need a Rebbe. You don't need a Gadol to be by, a Tzaddik to be by. He says to Mariel, it's wrong. You have to go to a Gadol. You have to stick yourself to a Gadol. It's the only way to be Kadosh. Because you have to be in this world. You're not a Malach. If you want to just kill yourself now and be a Malach and Shemayim, go ahead and do it. But if you want to live in this world, you have to know how to live in this world and still be holy. And the only people who can do that are the Gedolim at the time. The Gedolim of that time. So you have to stick yourself to them. Go see what he does. How does he stay away from people? How is he able to make himself so kadosh and torah and nivdal from everybody else? You have to look at him and you have to see, why do they still not give in to their taivas? And what do they have that's more than anything else? And a Kaddish Baruch who knows, and he gives through them bracha, shefa, hatzlacha, all the good things in the world, all come through those gedolim and tzaddikim, not through a Kaddish Baruch directly, but al yedei the tzaddikim, through the tzaddikim davening, through the tzaddikim learning, that's how everything happens. So the Pasuk tells us, it's unbelievable, the yikuli, to do it lishmi, anybody can do this. Anybody can do this as long as they're yidvenu libo. They're connected to a rav that has a donation of the heart. Somebody who is generous and is willing to give up of his time and give up of his place and give up everything that he has in order for other people to be improved. And if you find such a rebbe that's willing to be on that level, that wants to give up everything he has for you to improve, for the other guy to improve, then automatically you're going to be tichus truma. See, that's a person that I want to take my truma for everything to come from him. That's the real avoda. That's the real avoda. But when you're with that trunity way, to go to that real tzaddik, to find the tzaddik, to find the gadol, and to be able to connect with them. We're talking small time. We're talking like a big time gadol. A big time gadol to say that this person, I gotta learn from him, just for a little bit. Just to be around him. When somebody comes to Chicago, and it's a gadol, you sit there and you say, I want to hang out with him a little bit. I want to go around him a little bit. When there's a possible trip to Lakewood, New Jersey, where people can go check out what the Gedolim look like, go to New York.
It's happening tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, it's a little late for that. But if a person can get a connection and be able to go there and just hang out even for an hour to see what they look like, to see what they do, there's something to go into a gadol, even if you don't speak to them, even if you don't say anything to them, just to watch what they do in every situation. And even when the gadol does something that is questionable to you, for you to be able to sit there and you say to yourself, well, I just don't understand it. Not to say to myself, well, I've never seen that gadol ever again. To say to yourself, I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. And you ask around, ask people, what do you think he meant by that? That's tikkun trumasi. Those types of people are the people that I want to take my truma. Okay. Now, if you say to yourself, wait a second, Klal Yisrael is still being asked something absolutely crazy. How in the world do we expect Klal Yisrael to give their first tzedakah lishma? Come on. And even the words that come out of this, I mean, they say famous things. The yichuli truma, that you should take for me truma. What do you mean, take for me truma? It should be, you should give to me truma. Shouldn't it be give to me? And the famous thing that when you give, you automatically take something back that you're really taking for yourself. That the fact that the other guy is accepting your tzedakah gives you a mitzvah. The guy doesn't get a mitzvah by taking your money, and the money would have came to him anyway, even if you didn't give it to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to have that dollar, or that $5, or whatever it is. You're taking a mitzvah for it. The famous word from the Gra, and everything, and the whole thing about how it's a palindrome. What's the wording that they use for it? I forgot what the wording is. The wording that they use for the v'nasenu, and they will give as kofar nasham. V'nasenu is a kadma of Aslan, the same word, that it's a palindrome. It goes back and forth, that if you do something, it'll go back to you, and v'nasenu is goes back and forth. You can read it back and forth. The pshat is, we expect that from the first time that a guy gives tzedakah. So Schwab asks, what happened to Mitosh Shalol Lishma, Bal Lishma? Start off Shema Lishma. Just give money. I know you don't want to, but give me the money that you want to give. Give me all the money that you want to give. Max the shekel has to be given, but that was for a different reason. Max the shekel was for the counting.
That's
the way to be able to do it. Yeah, you're 100% right. But what did they use that for? Maskil David says no. Oh well, it's machlokas. I should say that it could be used for the Adonim themselves. It might have been used to buy things for the Mishkan. The Mishkan itself. You got to check out the Maskil with David. But yes, you're right. The Gemara does say that it was used for the Adonim themselves. But aside from that, in which they wanted to be counted, and they were doing something for Akash Baruch Hu, a regular tzedakah to do lishma. Even that's a good question. Actually, you can add it onto that. What's with those coins right there? They have to give it. They have to give something. So what's with mitosho lishma v'lishma? So Schwab says it's not shayach by the Mishkan to have anything that's shalol lishma and eventually become lishma. Why not? When you're trying to make a house for God, when you're trying to make something for Him to be able to live in, it has to be perfect. It needs to be absolutely perfect. It needs to be perfect in every which way. There can't be any chisaron at all from our part in order for God to live in there. If there's one little problem in there, if one guy didn't concentrate while making the wall, and while he's making the wall and hammering in the wall, he's thinking like, wow, what am I going to eat for dinner tonight? Then all of God doesn't want to be there. God says it's not the house for me. He wants to be in a perfect house. Shalom Lishma just doesn't cut it. Just doesn't do it for you. It's when it came to the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see how the Beis HaMikdash is a little bit different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a house that's absolutely perfect. That's why by every kli that they made in Parshas Pekudei, we're going to see it says, Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. Like God commanded Moshe over and over and over and over again. 19 times it says, Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. In different variations. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, and they did it exactly. Whatever Moshe Rabbein wanted, they did it all purely lishma without anything. Even Sanhedrin, because there were a chalik of the Beis HaMikdash that they sat in the Lishkas HaGazis right by the Beis HaMikdash, even they had to be lishma. Osva li shivim zakenim. Gather for me the 70 older people. Li lishmi. You gotta do it for my name, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's gotta be for me. It's gotta be all for me. And that maybe is why Eldad Medad had a bit of a suffix. Should we join the Sanhedrin? Eldad Medad stayed back there and let the other 70 people go, and Eldad Medad didn't want to be there because they didn't think they were doing a lishma. They thought they were shtickle shalol lishma, whatever that means in the eyes of Eldad Medad, tremendous Nevi'im. But they were sitting there and they said, well, maybe we're not lishma yet. It has to be perfect, and if it's not perfect, it's not going to go for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Mishkan special. No, not just anybody was allowed to donate. Da'vero b'nei Yisrael. Da'vkut b'nei Yisrael, not to the Erev Rav. It's got to be Me'ez Kol Ish Asher Yidbenu Libo. The Ben Ish Chai says the reason why they brought Nechoshes, copper, is the Beis HaMikdash. What's copper? Oh, you don't think gold is so much better? Whatever copper can do, gold is 70 times better. So what in the world are you using copper for? What's the point of copper? Says the Ben Ish Chai, the Pshat on copper is such an awesome answer. This is because people had to donate willingly. And if they would give gold, they might not be so willing. If they had to give like the most expensive stuff, they're not going to be so willing. But when it comes to copper, everybody's willing, because copper is not as expensive. So the copper was something that they were willing to give. And by the way, where did the copper come from? Most of the copper? The woman's mirrors. The woman's mirrors were mostly copper. That's where they got most of the copper from, because they were willing to go out and give it. They wanted to go out and give it. It's such an unbelievable thing. The Miyamoe says he excluded the Erev Rav completely. The Erev Rav, even if they came with tons of gold and silver, they weren't accepted. I said, no, sorry, we have enough. Oh, you Jew? Come, I'll take. But from the Arab Rab, they couldn't accept a thing. What were you going to say?
Is that in this week's Parsha, the mirrors?
The mirrors is not in this week's Parsha. That's in the end of Kisisa. Also in the end of Kisisa. It's Kisisa, I believe. It might be in Vayako. I don't remember. But it's not in this week's Parsha. But by the Beis HaMikdash, it was the exact... Think about what happened with the Beis HaMikdash. Who built the Beis HaMikdash? We know the famous Shlomo Melech, right? But who did Shlomo Melech hire to build the Beis HaMikdash? Hiram. He hired Hiram. Hiram Melech Tzur, the king of Tzur, who was a guy. He was a complete guy. Whether he's the friend of Yehuda, Hira, Ha'adulami, from all the way back then in Parshas Vayeshev, that's another story. But Hiram, he was a guy. That guy built almost the entire Beis HaMikdash. He bought cedar woods to Shlomo Melech. There's a pasuk that says that all the goyim in the world donated to the Beis HaMikdash. They all gave money to the Beis HaMikdash. They all wanted to be involved. Every single one of them wanted to be involved. It's unbelievable. What in the world is going on? By the Mishkan, not a single, not even the Erev Rav, not even Gerim. I shouldn't say all Gerim, but the normal Gerim, the Erev Rav, weren't allowed to donate a thing. You have to be special people. You have to donate it completely with Shema. But by the Beis HaMikdash, anyone will allow anyone to be there? What in the world is the difference between the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash? That one is this way, one is that way. They have to understand what the purpose was. the Beis HaMikdash's purpose was ki beisi beis tefillah yikarei. Anybody want to finish off the pasuk? The Kolamim. Every nation should be around. All the Umas Olam brought korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. There is no mention anywhere of the Umas Olam bringing a korban in the Mishkan. While the Mishkan was around, until Shlomo Melech came around, there was not one mention of any type of a korban being brought by any of the nations of the world. Nobody else was involved. It was Jewish, and that's it. Nobody else was allowed to bring anything. But by the Beis HaMikdash, every nation in the world was allowed to come in. We know the famous bought by Shlomo Melech. Why he married thousands upon thousands of wives. What's the pshat? He wanted to take in the sparks of Kedusha from every nation. And he wanted to bring it to Klal Yisrael. Shlomo Melech Mamash thought the Mashiach was there. That he would be the Mashiach. Whether it was Mashiach ben Yosef or Mashiach ben David. I know, he's from David HaMelech. So why wouldn't it be Mashiach ben David? To be somehow another type of Mashiach that would be around there. He knew that he had the chance of bringing every nation together and being Metaki in the whole world. Fixing the whole world. To do that, you need everyone involved. Everyone has to donate. And everyone needs Kedusha. So he married every single one of those women in order to bring about that Kedusha for Klal Yisrael. For the Beis HaMikdash to be around with that. That was the point of the Beis HaMikdash, to bring everyone together. That's the point behind it. But the Mishkan was Edus. The Mishkan had Edus. It was a testimony for Klal Yisrael, for Bnei Yisrael, that God was with them. Not with the Arabs. Not with Esau. Not with the men in the east, the people in the east, and not with Yafes, and not with Chum. He was with us. Purely with us. And nobody else was allowed to come involved. Was allowed to be involved. So only Bnei Yisrael was allowed to pay for it. No one else. Absolutely no one else. And that's why it's so important to go into what happened in this Mishkan. What do we bring in? Even though it doesn't apply by the Beis HaMikdash. That the Beis HaMikdash is completely different from how the Mishkan was built. They had different purposes, different reasons, different things for them. That's the pshat behind V'asu li Mikdash, says in Pasuk Ches. Make for me a Mikdash. V'shachanti v'sokam. Again, the word li is lishmi. A Mikdash that will be there and I will dwell within it. Now, that's weird. It's not a Mikdash. It's a Mishkan. What's this Mikdash that we're talking about over here? The Balaturim is famous. The Mikdash refers to Vishachanti Vesochem. It's a great boy. This is like one of those Shabbos table boards. Shachin Taf Yud. He lived there. The Shekhinah was there for 410 years. The first base of Mikdash was 410 years. That's Shachin Taf Yud. If you take the first, third, and fifth letters, Shani Taf Chaf. The second Beis HaMikdash was 420 years. My little addition to this, Vishachin Vav Shin Chaf Nun, is the Gematria of Shlomo. That's Shlomo, because Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash. Kanti Chaf Nun Taf Yud is 480, because it was built 480 years after they left Mitzrayim. So Shlomo Melech built it 480 years after they left Mitzrayim, and that was 410 years, and then the second one was 420. Okay, I understand that. That's the Mikdash, and that it's a remez to when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be around. But why call it a Mikdash? And what's a Vishachanti B'Socham? That I'll dwell among them. Should be Vishachanti B'Socho. I will dwell in it. Because that's what you're making the Mishkan for. That's not the point of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is supposed to be a conduit, similar to Tefillin. When you put on Tefillin, the Tefillin is not about the Kedusha of the Tefillin. It's to spread that Kedusha throughout your entire body. To bring the Kedusha throughout your entire body. It's the talis that you put on that spreads Kedusha throughout your entire body. The idea behind the Mishkan is a conduit for the Shekhinah's power to go through the Mishkan and come to us. Similar to a tzaddik of a generation bringing down the Kedusha and spreading it around to all the people around there. If they don't go to the Mishkan, the Kedusha doesn't spread to them. If you don't go to a tzaddik, then you don't get that Kedusha from the tzaddik himself. The Mishkan was Eidus for Klal Yisrael, but it was Eidus, not only Eidus, to show everybody where God was. It was an Eidus and a way of bringing about Kedusha and Klal Yisrael that would stay there forever, that would never leave them. He doesn't dwell in it. He dwells within Bnei Yisrael. And when the Mishkan has to be destroyed because Bnei Yisrael sinned, instead of killing the Jews and keeping his house, he just sit in his house all day with nobody there, he destroyed his house and let his Shekhinah dwell among the Jewish people themselves. It's harder for that conduit to be there because there's nothing that's pulling the Shekhinah down and bringing him to us, and that goes. Where there's Hester Panim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not directly with us. It's a different type of life. But that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, that he destroys his house instead of killing the Jews and allowing the Jews to live a normal, normal life. That's the idea of what Galus is. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you sinned enough that it should be killing you, instead I'm going to destroy my house and that's it. That's why the Malachim, a crazy thing,
the Malachim in the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Pei Zayin say to Moshe Rabbeinu, we want the Aseres Dibros, we want the Torah, you guys shouldn't get it at all. So Akash Baruch does a crazy thing. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu, hold on to my Kisei HaKavod, whatever that means physically, you hold on to the Kisei HaKavod. Hold on and answer them back. Give them an answer. Say something back to them. And Moshe Rabbeinu says back to him, hold on to the Kisei HaKavod. And he says back, it says, Anokhi Hashem Elokecha Shehotzeicham Mitzrayim. He took you out of Mitzrayim. Were you guys ever in Mitzrayim? God wouldn't take you out. Lo yelech Elohim acherim al ponai. Do you guys have any other gods? It says you gotta honor your parents. Do you guys have any parents? Yeah, one question after the other. One question after the other, and he said, one, do you have this, do you have that? The whole Torah doesn't apply to you. And the Malachim like, oh, you're right. You're right. And they gave up. That's an unbelievable Gemara. What in the world does that mean? What was their taina in the first place? And if their claim was so good, what did Moshe Rabbeinu knock out? What, this wasn't the most passionate answer ever? What were they going to do with the Torah? What were they going to have with it? Just, it's unbelievable. What were they thinking? And then number two, this question is also asked by the Ma'aril. I don't understand. Why didn't they ask for the Mishkan? They asked for the Torah, but they didn't want the Mishkan? I mean, wouldn't that be a great place to go chill out with God in a house? And then it's in a spiritual place, so it's like a spiritual house. What's the difference that they didn't ask for a Mishkan? It sounds like such a silly question, but what's the difference that they asked for them? They wanted the Torah, but they didn't want the Mishkan. So I'm going to give a couple combination of answers, but the pshat is like this. Without a question, they did not want the pshat of the Torah. It had nothing to do with pshat of the Torah, but the four parts of the Torah. There's pshat, there's remez, there's drush, and then there's sod. They wanted the sodos of Torah, the secrets of the Torah. They didn't want people to have those secrets. Why didn't they want the people to have those secrets? They said, if people have these secrets, they'll abuse them. They'll abuse it completely. And they won't do it in the right way. We will hold these secrets together. They'll get pshat, they'll get remez, they'll get drush. But the Soda Kabbalah should stay with us. This shouldn't be passed down. Nobody else should have it except for us. And we'll do it, and we'll do it well. The Malachim said, we'll be awesome with it. We'll do everything that possibly could be within Sod. But we'll do everything there. So then, okay, if that's their taina, then what was Moshe Rabbeinu's answer back? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't answer them. He said, do you guys get taken out of Mitzrayim? Do you guys have parents? No, but that's not what they were asking for. So what was he saying back to them? Says the Ma'aril, what he was saying to them is that it's marbe kavod shamayim. It adds on to the honor of God Himself. If in a physical world, we still have the Soda Satora. What Moshe Rabbeinu promised them was, I'll take the Soda Satora. I'll give it down to individuals in the generation. And those individuals will pass it down to other individuals. But not just everybody will get the Soda Satora. I'll have it. And I'll give it down to them. But regarding the pshat, if you can see that there's pshat going on in the world, there's a pshat here, and that there's gashmias, and with the gashmias we still have the sod, then that's an unbelievable kavod shamayim in this world. You'll see unbelievable secrets in this world. And it's better for us to have it than it is for you to have it. Of course you guys understand there's a sod behind the Torah. We don't understand what the sodos behind the Torah means. We have no idea what Tumah and Tahara means. We don't have any clue. You guys understand it. You guys can translate Tumah and Tahara. We can't even translate the words. Impure? Pure? That doesn't even mean anything to me. You can't even translate these words. Said Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't understand. It makes a bigger Kiddush Hashem for us to have this Soda Satora with the Pshat and to work on it together. So we should get it. It's the exact same thing with the Mishkan. Moshe didn't need the Mishkan itself. Moshe didn't need the Mishkan. Think about what the Mishkan is all about. It's a physical way of expressing who God is. It's a gashmiistic way of using the ruchnis that Hashem has in Shemayim, bringing it down for us, and bringing it over for everybody in Klal Yisrael to spread it around all of Klal Yisrael. Malachim don't need that. They're kadosh in and of themselves. They're not trying to improve. They're owned in. They stay where they are and they don't grow anywhere. We need to grow. So having a Mishkan is marbet kavod shamayim. That by a physical act of bringing a korban and putting it on a mizbeach and burning it up and letting it go up to shamayim, somehow God is giving us everything we need inside this world. It's an unbelievable effect. An unbelievable effect. By doing something down here, the famous Kuzari, why do we have korbanos? Nobody understands korbanos. Because the physical act that we do corresponds to something spiritual out there and causes unreal things to happen in Shemayim. Unbelievable things to happen in Shemayim. We don't understand how. We have no idea. But it's marbet kavod shamayim that people are going to keep doing it. such a place where there's such an idea of Gashmias meeting up with Ruchnias has to be Lishma. And if it's not Lishma, then you lose the whole effect. Because if you do it for physical reasons, then God can't rest Himself down there. He can't put a spiritual body on there and spread Himself around. It needs to be done in a spiritual way, and that's the Lishma. That's what stops us from being purely Gashmi. I'm saying this as Musur, but I'm saying it in more of a clear fashion. That's the point of a shul and a Beis Medrash. The point of a shul and a Beis Medrash is absolutely Pashit. Pashit. During the first Beis HaMikdash, we were intrinsically holy enough, because of all the buildup that we had from the Mishkan for years and years and years and years of God putting His Kedusha down and spreading it around over and over and over and over again, that by the time the first Beis HaMikdash came, we were able to hold our own against the other nations. And when the other nations came toward us and they wanted to hang out with us and give us korbanos and do other things with us, we were able to somewhat push them off and be able to do our avoda. We were able to do whatever we were supposed to do. And everything worked out unbelievably well. Unbelievably well. Until Shlomo Melech messed up with one person. Anyone know who that person was? It was one person that messed him over. Bas Paro. Who he married, you know when?
Right after his Rebbe died.
No, there was. They happened to be after his Rebbe died. But when was it? What night was it? The night that they consecrated the Beis HaMikdash. The night they consecrated the Beis HaMikdash. Unbelievable, no? He married her right then. Whether it's the Queen of Sheba is a better question. Malchus Shavah is a different person, maybe. Bas Paro is for sure known as Bas Paro. Malchus Shavah is a different person. But that night, when he married Bas Paro, he messed it up. He overslept for the Talmud Shel Shachar, and they brought the Talmud Shel Shachar late. Unbelievable what was shown off, because he was trying to connect all the nations together. Where was all the Tuma in the world in Mitzrayim? It was still there. And he was trying to be metakin all the Tuma that was there in Mitzrayim. And the only way for him to be able to do that is to do it on the night where the ultimate Kedusha would be there. And he figured that ultimate Kedusha would knock out the Tuma of Mitzrayim. And it didn't work. They messed up. And at first Beis HaMikdash, there were Goyim around, and eventually the Goyim took a hold of Klal Yisrael to the point where, as soon as the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, 70 years of Golus, what happened? They intermarried. Started getting together with Goyim. So at that time, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola got together and they said, we got to make a new concept. There's got to be something different. Because the first Beis HaMikdash is not enough. It's not enough just to have one Beis HaMikdash and just have it for everybody, that whenever you need a spiritual upload, you go to the Beis HaMikdash and you get it there. They made the concept of davening, of tefillah, in a shul. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, right there in Golos Bavel was immediately, that was the moment where right then they decided we got to have a shul. There was no concept of a shul before then by Ezra and Nechemiah. And Ezra and Nechemiah made shuls throughout Klal Yisrael, because until then they didn't need it. There's no need for it. It was all done. Which one? The second one? Yeah, they made it with the second Beis HaMikdash. Because it wasn't enough just to have a second Beis HaMikdash. They had to do things around. And in the second Beis HaMikdash, they refused help from many of the Goyim around. The Jews built it themselves. Now, they did take money from Darius II. But Darius II was a Jew. He was the son of Esther. So they did take a little bit of money, but they took money from a Yid. Now, it might have not been totally Lishma. It might not have been in the totally right ways. So there was a little bit of a mess up in the second base of Mikdash. That's why it wasn't a perfect base of Mikdash. But the point of the second base of Mikdash was supposed to be like the Mishkan. Keep Goyim out. Keep those Goyim out. We'll take everything in, but keep the Goyim out. That's why, when they wanted to bring Korbanos to the base of Mikdash and they were Goyim, what happened when the second base of Mikdash was destroyed? We know that the famous what's his name? Bar Kamsa, thank you very much. Bar Kamsa went ahead to the Roman government and said, bring us a korban, and the Jews refused to be mocked with it. Because the Maestri, they want to stay away from that sort of thing. If they have to do it, they'll have to do it. They have 70 paros and sukkahs, they have to do it. But if a guy goes ahead and donates, in the first Beis HaMikdash, it was fine. That was the point of the first Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash, 100%, you know, without a question. And that was what they did. But what did Bar Kamsa think in the first place? Bar Kamsa's point was, is that they'll do anything to push you away. Because your point, this is not a Beis HaMikdash where everybody is together. It's a Beis HaMikdash just for the Jews. Now, you're right. They did it with a moment. Without a question. Without a question. Without a question. Without a question. But he had a pshat.
He was trying to show them.
And think about what Zechariah ben Abtulis was saying. Zechariah ben Abtulis and Bisanuso destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. What in the world is going on here? Zechariah ben Abtulis says, let's not bring it because then they're going to say this or they're going to say that. Well, you don't understand. They were worried. The Goyim are going to start getting more involved. And if that's going to be the case, it's better for the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. Because that's the point of the second Beis HaMikdash. But the third Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be like the first one. There's a connection between the two. They're both for ultimate Kedusha. For a Kedusha of all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world together. And everyone will be involved in the third Beis HaMikdash. Everyone will help build it up. Everyone will be together. That's the point behind it. When we say Li Lishmi, it really is referring to not only the Mishkan itself, but for how long the point of the second Beis HaMikdash itself is supposed to be not only for the Mishkan, but the second Beis HaMikdash. The first and the third Beis HaMikdash have a different outlook, but the Mishkan had an idea of Li Lishmi that should apply for the second Beis HaMikdash as well. It should be done Lishma, unlike the first and the third. This one has to be done Lishma. That's why Li Lishmi is the gematria of 420. That's the gematria that I said I was going to end off with in a way. It's going to be 420 because that's the amount of years the second Beis HaMikdash lasted for. Nowadays, we have shoals. We have batei midrashos. And until the point comes where we have a third Beis HaMikdash where all the goyim can get together and bring along the same way it was in the first Beis HaMikdash, until that point, we keep along with these shoals to represent the Mikdash Ma'at, so to speak, just without getting to the reform view. And that's v'chein tasu. Rashi says, v'chein tasu l'doros. When it says, you should build me a Mikdash, kechol asher nimar, you gotta make whatever I show you, that's what you gotta do, and that's what you should do with Doros. Everybody asks, with Doros, the first Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan was nowhere near what they did for the first Beis HaMikdash. There were only four Kruven, 10 Shulchanos, 10 Menorahs, 10 Mizbechos. There was a huge Mizbech outside as opposed to the Mizbech that they had during the times of the Mishkan. Everything was different. What's Bechain Tassel with Doros? You should do this with Doros, it's all wrong. Pshat is so you should do for the generations when you need it, and there needs to be something that's li lishmi, then you do the next second Beis HaMikdash. When you need it, and when you don't need it, then you have the idea of the first Beis HaMikdash and the third Beis HaMikdash, which is for all the nations together, for everyone to be around at the exact same time. That's the idea behind it, guys. That's the entire idea, and that it just leads up to li lishmi, to do things lishma. All right, we'll stop with that. Have a good Shabbos. Yeah, what's up?